Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Euro Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme today, I'll be speaking to Dublin City Council Events Coordinator Tom Doyle about Polska Erin, a week-long Polish cultural festival that's happening all this week. Carmel has a regular report on all things European that she believes will affect us here in Dublin. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe. And we'll have some wonderful music from Poland for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour at your programme Europe Today. A major seminar on the positive benefits of Irish EU membership takes place in Dublin on Monday next, titled European Economic Policy, What's in it for Ireland? The event will take place at the National College of Ireland in the Financial Services Centre starting at 12:30 p.m. Among the contributors will be Brian Hayes, MEP, economist Jim Power and Graham Stuhl of the European Commission. Barbara Nolan, who is head of EU representation in this country, says the seminar will explain where Ireland goes from here as it emerges from recession.
Of course, happily now we're in a situation where things have improved dramatically and the outlook is very, very positive. And we're trying to explain now where we go next with all of that and why being part of a common currency, the euro, means that all member states must respect the rules of the game if we're to keep the European economy in good shape.
The European Commission has unveiled plans to create a single digital market. At present, there are 28 separate sets of law across the EU dealing with online commerce, which the Commission says is preventing economic growth and job creation. Ireland is currently ranked 9th out of 28 EU states in terms of digital performance. EU Commissioner for the Single Market, Mr. Andrus Anstip, says the current digital situation in the European Union is ridiculous.
Spectrum, standards and systems, it all needs to join up, but it does not. We do not yet have a digital single market in Europe. Consumers and companies in Europe are digitally grounded. They cannot choose or move freely. In the 21st century, this is absurd.
New statistics from the European Commission show that road debts in the European Union during 2014 fell by 1%. However, 196 people lost their lives on Irish roads last year, an increase of 4% on 2013. Ciara Eustace of the European Union Office in Dublin says the new figures for the 28 member states indicate that the battle to reduce road fatalities is proving to be a difficult one.
Well, following great increases in road safety and decreases in road fatalities from 2010 up to about 2013, these figures show now that this decline has either slowed or reversed across a huge majority of EU states, Ireland included, where fatalities have increased by 4%.
The European Union has withdrawn 9 dangerous products from the Irish market. They include a laptop, a children's car seat, a hand washing gel, baby slippers and an air hockey table. China is the main source of origin for the defective products. Ruth Deasy of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the products were withdrawn in the interests of safety.
Well, these are items that are considered to be dangerous for the consumer. And looking at the list, we can see that the several of them are for children. It's a car seat, there's children's clothing. And in general, these things contain, they're either not safe or they have small parts, there's a risk of injury or choking. And of course, this means that they must be withdrawn from the market to keep people safe.
New figures show that 71% of information provided on consumers' statutory rights is deemed unsatisfactory. An ECCNet survey reveals that 67% of offers from retailers across the European Union did not adequately inform consumers on how to return a defective item to the seller, while 40% did not provide clear information on who was actually providing the warranty. Under the law, Irish people have 6 years to seek redress for faulty or defective items, whereas with warranties, the term for redress is determined by the seller, which is usually different. Grace Duffy of the European Consumer Centre office in Dublin says if a warranty expires, the consumer still has rights under Irish statutory law.
The main thing that we want to advise consumers about is that a seller's warranty or a manufacturer's warranty exists in addition to consumer statutory rights. So basically, even if the warranty that you have from the seller doesn't cover the particular fault with the item, the consumer should still be able to rely on their statutory rights to seek redress.
New rules are planned from the European Commission to ensure transparency on tax deals with foreign investors in all European Union states. The new proposals, which will be legally binding, will allow other European Union states to know what tax arrangements have been offered by other member countries when foreign investors set up businesses. The proposals come amid growing public concern that US multinationals are exploiting mismatches between different tax schemes to reduce their tax bills by locating their headquarters in low-tax EU countries. Ruth Deasy of the European Commission office in Dublin says the proposal is aimed at providing transparency on foreign investment tax arrangements across the entire European Union.
Well, at the moment, an international company can come to a government tax authority and ask for a ruling on what they would have to pay in a certain case. That tax authority does not have to share the information with other countries. Under this proposal, all the member states would share this kind of decision, so they would see what each other are doing.
The European Union is to spend over €1.2 million on the school fruit scheme in Ireland during the 2015-2016 school term. €150 million in total is being spent on the fruit scheme across the European Union. However, three states have opted out of the programme, namely Sweden, Finland and the UK. Kiri Uses of the European Commission office in Dublin says the objective of the scheme is to improve the nutrition of Irish children.
Well, this €1.2 million for the school fruit scheme for the next school year, 2015-16, aims to encourage healthy eating habits among young people. So starting fruit and vegetable consumption at an early age and hoping that will continue as a good habit through their life.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Taoiseach Enda Kenny has raised the prospects of further tax cuts in October's budget. This is against the backdrop of Ireland continuing its bid to secure more flexibility from the European Commission on the interpretation of fiscal rules. Speaking at last week's EU summit, at which the EU's economic rules were discussed, Mr. Kenny said that Irish officials were working with the European Commission to find ways of interpreting EU budget rules that would reflect the real economic profile of the country. The EU have agreed over €1.2 million for the school fruit scheme in Ireland for the next school year. This current round of funding is 75% financed by the EU and 25% financed by Ireland. Since joining the EU in 1973, Ireland has received over €71 billion in funding. But did you ever wonder what Europe had actually delivered for your county? You can find out now by going to the Commission representation in Ireland's website to see the details broken down into each of the 26 reports, one for each county. The European Commission this week presented a package of tax transparency measures. This is part of its ambitious agenda to tackle corporate tax avoidance and a harmful key competition in the EU. A key element is a proposal to introduce the automatic exchange of information between member states on their tax rulings. There were 191 cases of injury from exposure to liquid laundry capsules in Ireland in 2013. The European Commission is leading a global awareness campaign on the risks posed by liquid laundry detergent capsules for the safety of young children. The campaign aims to inform consumers, especially parents, to safely use and store laundry detergent capsules, keeping them away from children. The EU is to send Greece €2 billion this year to be used to combat the country's social crisis, while a mini-meeting to discuss the country's problems is being hailed as having cleared the air after a fractious few weeks. Bulgaria is by far the most unhappy country in the EU, a survey has found. The country, which joined the European Union in 2007, came bottom of a Brussels poll on life satisfaction. Bulgarians average just 4.8% on a 0 to 10 scale of happiness, some distance behind Portugal, the next most miserable with 6.2. The survey revealed Scandinavia was the most satisfied in the EU at an average of 8 out of 10. EU leaders clinched a deal on measures to reduce dependence on Russian gas and build a so-called energy union. They agreed to accelerate infrastructure projects, including interconnections to peripheral regions, for electricity and gas to ensure energy security and a well-functioning internal energy market. A Frenchman has tried to smuggle his Russian wife into the EU by hiding her in a massive suitcase without realising there had been no need for the would-be James Bond-type scheme. Poland's border guards detained the man, but there was no need for his antics because his wife would have had no trouble entering the passport-free Schengen travel zone. The EU is considering plans to outsource its patrols of the Mediterranean to countries such as Egypt and Tunisia in order to try to reduce the high numbers of desperate illegal migrants risking their lives to reach European shores. Britain would turn into the North Korea of Europe if it left the European Union. That's according to the former Prime Minister of the UK, Gordon Brown. He said abandoning the 28-nation bloc would leave the UK frozen out of political decision-making, while forging alliances with new partners would not compensate for the lost trade from the Eurozone, which remains Britain's biggest trading partner. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Zamknął. broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
It is estimated that there are presently 150,000 Polish citizens living in the Republic of Ireland, resulting in Polish becoming the second most widely spoken language on the island. To champion the diversity that Polish people bring to Ireland, Polska Era 2015 has been established as a nationwide festival to coincide with the UEFA Republic of Ireland versus Poland qualifier on the 29th of March. The initiative is led by the Minister of State for New Communities, Culture and Equality, Aidan O'Riordan, TD, Department of Arts, Heritage and the Gaeltacht, and Department of Justice and Equality, the Embassy of the Republic of Poland in Dublin, and the Football Association of Ireland. The festival is supported by Dublin City Council and other local authorities, along with many Polish organisations and cultural community and sporting groups across the country. To tell us a little bit more about all this, Europe Today spoke recently with Dublin City Council's Events Unit Coordinator, Tom Doyle.
Okay, John, so what we have as part of the Polska Era Festival, which, you know, started on the 21st of March, and it runs to the 29th, and it coincides with the big soccer match in the Aviva.
Indeed.
Between Ireland and Poland. So I suppose the whole idea of this festival, it's an initiative of Minister for State Aidan O'Riordan, and I suppose that the idea behind it is to kind of celebrate the special relationship between the Polish and Irish communities. You know, it's estimated that there's over 150,000 Polish citizens in Ireland. So given that, it's the second most spoken language on the island.
Indeed.
It's very fitting to have this festival. And I suppose coming ahead, what we have this weekend, Dublin City Council are running a number of events in the city centre over the weekend, the 28th to 29th of March. We have a family fun day in Wolfstown Square in the city centre.
Right.
And that's on the Saturday and Sunday. And they are free events, so I'm encouraging everybody to come down. You know, if you're going to the match later on that day, drop into the square where we'll have music and there'll be kind of games for kids and face painting, you know, and some food stalls there as well. So that should be a great, you know, couple of days. And then it ends on the Sunday, then we have another event in Meeting Hill Square in Temple Bar. And we have a really good Polish group, Supertonic, and an Irish group, the Martin Healy Trad Band.
Brilliant, yeah.
So and that again runs between 1 and 5 o'clock, and that's on the Sunday. So both are, you know, they're free events. And as I said, we're encouraging everybody to come down and bring the kids down. And, you know, it's a family-friendly event, so it should be a really good day.
Okay, and there's a programme. Is a programme on the web, Tom? Is there any chance? Yeah.
There's events happening nationwide for Polska Era. So if you go to www.polskaerafestival.com,
right. You'll
get information on each event, you know, what's happening in your area.
Has there been anything set up to, there isn't a little parade or anything like that to accommodate the football fans while they're here? Is there or?
Not with the Polska Era program. It's more about like to kind of celebrate aspects of the culture.
And
music as well. So you know, we'd be saying to you know, and we have members of the Polish embassy and working with us on this. So they'd be reaching out, you know, to their community and kind of to invite people in on the weekend of the match to you know even soccer fans come in and as I said, the soccer games up in Wolfstown Square. So, you know, there's something there for everyone.
Okay, and is anything in particular you're looking forward to yourself, Tom? What's the highlight for you personally?
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I heard a bit of this group, Supertonic, you know, and they sound really good. This is a Polish band, so they're. I'm looking forward to them. They're in Meeting House Square on Sunday.
Okay, because I think you're a musician yourself, is that right?
I play a bit of music, indeed, yeah.
Very good. Brilliant stuff. And you know, again, is there stuff there for, I think there's a little bit of, is there a cinema, did I see a little, some Polish cinema on as well? Yeah, that's in the that's IFI, correct. Isn't it? By any...
In the Lighthouse Cinema.
Oh, the Lighthouse, right.
Kind of a Polish film festival running there from the 30th of March to the 5th of April.
Right, okay, so, brilliant.
And again, you know, if you go to www.polskaerafestival.com, you get a bit of information on that. So that's running a load of various Polish films. So that actually looks really good.
Right, okay.
That's from the 30th of March to the 5th of April.
And just as a curiosity, Tom, is there a little app tied in with the Polska Era thing as well? I know some of the cultural festivals like to create a little app so you can set up a little itinerary for yourself. Have they done anything like that this year?
No, there's no app that I'm aware of, but, you know, hopefully next
It's all on the web anyway. All the information is on the web. So it's easy for people to navigate it. And again, if they want to work out a little itinerary over the last couple of days. The festival kicked off. When was it kicked off again, Tom?
It started on the 21st of March.
Started on the 24th, so it's running.
And it runs until the 29th. So, as I said, it coincides with the game in the Aviva.
Right. Okay. So, still a couple of days, the film festival in the Lighthouse Cinema will run a little bit over that as well. There's still a few things going on. It's a national event, Tom, isn't it? It's not just a Dublin event. It's all over Ireland as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nationwide, you know. So, as I said, if you go to the website, you'll see what's going on, you know, in your county. Like, Dublin City Council are specifically involved in these events.
Here in Dublin,
Town Square and Meeting House Square. But, as I said, there's a whole lot of events going on across the country. So, you know, I'll encourage anyone to go on to the website and check it out. And, you know, as I said, there's something there for everyone. There's, you know, sports, cultural events, music events, you know.
And the films.
Have a look
How long have you been in preparation for this, Tom, as well? I suppose you're probably preparing the 2016 one as we speak now, are you?
We've been preparing our events, you know, for a number of months now. So we're hoping that this, you know, goes really well and then we can kind of build on it then for next year, you know. But I suppose it was kind of it worked out well that it ties in with the game.
Brilliant,
you know?
Yeah, indeed. Well, hopefully there'll be a lot of sad Polish people now after the game. I hope they all enjoyed the cultural Polska era, but I hope they're a little bit sad after the match now. In the spirit of friendliness and the spirit of Polska Era, we'll wish the Polish team good luck and may the best team win, which will be Ireland, of course. Again, those website details, Tom, are
www.polskaerafestival.com.
Tom, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today.
Go, man. All the best.
Who would it win?
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Tom Doyle, Dublin City Council event organiser. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme, if you missed anything, and it'll have links to all the items that we mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.